Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Good morning, diarrhea!
It's time to wake up. It's 5, and we're live.
Oh, is this thing on? I don't care. I want him to hear.
This is the pregame show, your early morning shot of sports on 95.7 The Game.
Come on!
Good morning. Happy hump day to all you Wednesday listeners. And we have a great show in store for you today because we got some wild card changes in both the National League and the American League because it turns out these games are bigger than I think a lot of people just imagined before the series even started and then realized where each team was in terms of places in the standings. We got, I mean, which reality show do you want to go with, Anna? Do you want to go with Hard Knocks or do you want to go with Bachelor in Paradise Part 2? Yes, we need to head over to the other mic. Oh, that's my fault. But really, we're going toward Hard Knocks this year, or this time today, because Bachelor in Paradise this year stinks. That's pretty much all I have to say about that. It's really a disappointment to me. But going forward, though, we will talk about Jimmy Garoppolo's situation, Anna, because...
Mm-hmm. I'm here.
What was your overall takeaway, because you couldn't make it yesterday to work.
Right.
So what was your overall takeaway from Jimmy Garoppolo's performance? Did it have you worried? It was only 10 snaps, but he did go 1 for 6 with an interception. And people here were, I mean, not only here in the station, but callers, texters, people on Twitter. Twitter was amazing that night. They were going nuts mm-hmm. after Jimmy Garoppolo had a bad outing. What did you think?
Well, first off, it's not good when you have a zero QB rating.
Right.
That's just not good at all. my thing is this. Definitely rust is a big issue.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely concerned, but not panicked. So I'm in between. I'm not like, it's fine. He'll be just fine. No, got to pay attention to this. I'm really going to pay close attention now against Kansas City, see what he does there and how he bounces back from this. And that's the thing right now that I want to make sure that this next start that he's getting more confidence because he did not look confident at all.
Right.
There was no confidence in him. He had another potential interception that he got lucky. So there's a lot of moves that I think he needs to work on his confidence right now. And obviously not having Trent Taylor there is a hard thing for him right now, but he's got to be able to start to adjust and also work with the wide receivers he has, even though they may not be your number one guys. These guys are still young, some of these guys, but he really needs to find a rapport with somebody.
You and I were talking about it before the game came up, and we were saying, you know, we need to see him at least maybe have, I mean, we want to see him have two drives, but if he goes through two drives, that might mean that Kyle Shanahan has seen enough and he's just comfortable with what he's seen. And he ended up going 3 and he didn't look comfortable at all. And Kyle Shanahan is partly to blame, too, because he didn't really put him in any positions to succeed.
True.
He put him in tough positions for his first gameplay since September of last year. But did you want to see him in more, though? Do you think it just would have gotten worse?
No, I wouldn't have wanted him more in that game because at this point, you know, you're missing a lot of key guys on the offensive line. He's just getting his, you know, his feet back onto the field in just a little less than a year. So let him get out there. Let him shake this one off and start fresh. Turn the page. Start fresh on the next game. I didn't want to see him out there more. I honestly think that could have it could have messed with him more mentally also, and also potentially physically.
Right. I mean, if you saw him dropping back, it didn't seem like he was all that composed back there. But also, there's something to be said, Anna, about that offensive line and just the pressure that was being brought to them by the Broncos.
Broncos defense looks good, too.
For me, if I'm just going to just give my immediate take right now, it's that it wasn't Jimmy Garoppolo really that had me too concerned, because quarterbacks, they're week to week. They can bounce back. They have certain weeks where they might suck, and then certain weeks where they look like the best quarterbacks of all time, mm-hmm. where Jimmy Garoppolo could look like Joe Montana in week three for all we know. But offensive lines, though, when you look like that, there's not a solid chance that you are going to look like, say, the Eagles' offensive line right. of 2017, which looked like one of the best ones of all time. Mm-hmm. It's not exactly like that for the offensive line. So I'm more concerned just with the fact that they don't have their starter at center. They could have Richburg by week one. Kyle Shanahan actually spoke yesterday and said they could have Weston Richburg by week one, though he hasn't gotten that work in. But having just a veteran center in there who actually does know the offense, then hey, that could help. But also, he still needs that work. You also got two guards who really you don't play with all that much. And then you had Joe Staley and Mike McGlinchey, who are supposed to be your anchors of that offensive line. McGlinchey looked okay, but Joe Staley did not look all that great. And that's just preseason. And it might not be anything to write home about, but overall, though, the pressure that was being brought to them by the Broncos, the fact that they got to go against the Buccaneers, the Steelers, and the Bengals to start out with. Now, the Buccaneers, now the Steelers, they're considered a good team
right.
overall. They're ones that have high expectations, but the Buccaneers and the Bengals, they do not have high expectations Ooh. Going into the season. There are some people. I always say there are some people. There are a lot of analysts, pundits, writers who do have the Buccaneers and the Bengals possibly being in last place and getting that number one overall pick. And with that being said, though, their best groups, position groups, are their defensive lines. Now, Jason Pierre-Paul is not going to be back until November, mm-hmm. so they're really only going to have Ndamukong Suh to start out with. But if you're going into the first three games of the season before that bye week in week four, I think that if you're going in there with a depleted offensive line against teams like the Buccaneers or the Bengals, then, I mean, it doesn't ultimately say, yeah, you're going to lose this game, but it doesn't look favorable at the moment. It doesn't look as favorable as it once was when the schedule first came out.
No, I get what you're saying. I think, though, they're still going to have to be able to figure something out by then, because you need Jimmy Garoppolo to figure out how to make plays. And again, it will be hard with a depleted offensive line, but I think that you'll see somebody like Joe Staley, who is a veteran, who is an aging veteran.
He can bounce back.
He will be able to bounce back. And look, yeah. Jimmy Garoppolo did say that he wishes he could have stayed in longer so he could bounce back. But I think as the coach, which I think Kyle Shanahan did correctly, was say, you know what? We're good. We got enough for tonight. And when he had his 5-interception practice, he also came back against Denver, I believe, in the scrimmage and went 7-for-7. So he'll be able to bounce back, I think. It's just I didn't want to see him out there too much longer, because I think it could mess with him mentally, and I think that there could have been more of a risk for an injury with the offensive line.
Now, we didn't really see him play either with these rookie wide receivers mm-hmm. and Dante Pettis.
I'm kind of getting nervous. I don't know if he's going to be this breakout star everybody's saying. Well, I know it's a little early still, but
here's the thing for me with Dante Pettis. By all accounts, and we've seen it, he has the talent, mm-hmm. right? But if your quarterback's just not getting him the ball because the coach just doesn't have enough faith to draw up plays for you, you can have all the talent in the world, but in the end, you also got to catch passes. Like it comes down to that simply. And we saw it with the Raiders. I'm not trying to compare him to Amari Cooper right now, but Amari Cooper was as polished of a route runner as I've seen coming out of the draft, and had high hopes for him coming in, and he lived up to them yeah. at first. But then all of a sudden he started dropping passes, and the talent was still there. He was still shaking out quarterbacks, but also there was an issue just going on with not only just Amari Cooper, but also with Carr and his timing and everything. But also Amari Cooper just wasn't helping himself because he was dropping passes, and there were times where he'd only get one target. So you can have all the talent in the world, but in the end, you got to execute, and Dante Pettis doesn't need – he shouldn't let the talent just go to waste like that, because it's there, and people have high hopes for him. I have high hopes for him after seeing him make a couple of touchdown catches right. last season. So that's the biggest question going forward, but – the rookie wide receivers didn't play all that much with Jimmy Garoppolo.
I do want to see that in the next game. I would like to see them play with Jimmy Garoppolo, see if there's any – what they have there, if there's any chemistry there, because those guys, they're big.
Right.
And they can make the plays, and they're very physical. So, you know, between Debo and Jalen Hurd, I think you could get something potentially with them. So I'm hoping that we could see more of them in the next game.
I think for me, too, seeing this last game and seeing what Debo Samuel did in week one – more than Jalen Hurd, he's more of a guy you can plug in on any down. Mm-hmm. Whereas Jalen Hurd right now, he looks like a guy that could be a dude you bring in the red zone.
Yeah.
And also a guy you could put in the slot, but really he could, I think just Debo Samuel, as far as just his versatility, what Kyle Shanahan can draw up for him, I think he could put him anywhere on any down on any part of the field. So I see Debo. I think I need to see Debo Samuel more than Jalen Hurd get some run in the next game coming up with the Chiefs. But I mean, you're right though. You need to see both of them. And actually, let's talk to Kyle Shanahan, or not talk to, but let's hear him talk from yesterday, talking about why he didn't play Hurd a little bit more, who only played, I believe, 8 snaps.
Hurd was going to play more, but you know, he had some back tightness all week. In practice, and then he had a little bit in the game. So he definitely could have gone, but that was just a decision I made to get him out of there. Don't want that to be worse with this, the fact that we had 3 games in 10 days. So we did that, and now the other guys we planned on playing a while, and I thought they did a good job taking advantage of that.
So we got Jalen Hurd, back stiffness, so they were just keeping him kind of in bubble wrap right now, and then Kyle Shanahan continued and talked about Debo Samuel and the rest of the wide receivers.
Debo had a good play on the reverse, or the round. We call it a round, but the reverse he had yesterday. But that's what we expect him to do. I mean, the DN closed, and he's fast, and we expect him to outrun people. But all these guys can keep getting better a lot. You know, we want them to be good at blocking, be good at running the ball when it's in their hands, and they need to be able to get open. And Debo has the ability to do everything, but he's still continuing to develop.
So, yeah, Debo Samuel, Marquise Goodwin, those two are going to be your speedy guys, and hopefully I think Kyle Shanahan needs to get more out of Marquise Goodwin, which he probably will this season, because just seeing the lack of depth they have there. They started Jordan Matthews too, but there's only so much he's really going to bring you all as well. But I'm curious to see how they're going to just throw those two out there, because it feels like Debo Samuel and Marquise Goodwin, they're just both super speedy guys, not that big of a build. But yeah, Ed, you know, Jalen Hurd, back tightness, that's not something you really want to hear out of a young receiver.
I know, get the massage work in, get some type of, you know, stretching, everything done, because you
back
need this
problems.
Guy. I mean, yeah, I've had back problems but that was because of a car accident.
Sheesh.
So I could only imagine.
Yeah.
Obviously, playing this sport day in and day out.
I mean, they're getting into car accidents pretty much every day.
Yeah.
And I mean, just by hitting each other.
But my whole thing, like, I mean, mine is not in comparison, basically,
right.
to what he goes through. But from my own personal experience, what I could draw from that is that, you know, I'll have days where all of a sudden my back will start hurting, and I'll go for like a week where I'll have major back issues. I can't wear my heels that I normally wear. I can't go out and do certain, you know, can't go out running or something. So yeah, there's you know, things that'll stop you from doing.
Right.
I mean, yeah, no heels.
Jalen Hurd, lay off the heels. All right, bud.
I was excited to see some good stuff from Tevin Coleman, though. I think he's going to be somebody that's going to be very important to this offense.
Yeah.
He definitely fits in with Kyle Shanahan's offense. Good things from Solomon Thomas as well. So I'm happy to see that, especially with everything that he went through. And bringing up Marquise Goodwin again, what, obviously, as long as he stays healthy, stays on the field, and then he had a rough year last year with his own personal stuff between him and his wife with their baby that they had lost last year. So
right.
I know that made a big impact with his abilities last year. So hopefully this year he has a big bounce back here.
He should. I think he should. But that all depends if Jimmy Garoppolo, that offensive line, and everything can actually get him the ball, because it seemed like the defensive lineman, Shelby Harris of the Oakland Raiders, I mean, they were just batting down everything.
Yeah.
Everything.
I feel like it's going to be a hot, cold year for Garoppolo, honestly. It's going to be either really hot or really cold.
I do think that if he has a game like that again, mm-hmm. I'm trying so hard to not overreact.
Exactly.
But
if he
does look skittish in this third preseason game for an entire half, it was a very small sample size, 10 snaps. But if he looks like that in week three and for an entire half, and he doesn't at least complete a couple of passes and get some points on the board, then I think that the 10-6, the 11, 10, 12 win expectations that some of these insiders are putting on them, the biggest surprise team to break out. It's hard to not overreact, and I'm trying not to, but if the same thing happens in week three, I'd be curious just to, I think that heads are going to roll.
Yeah, let's just hope he's going to shake this one off, because, it's been almost a year since he's played.
Heads aren't going to roll there. No one's going to get fired because of it. Going forward, though, we will be talking a little baseball, because we got some wild card shakeups that went down last night for the Bay Area. And then, of course, Hard Knocks was going on at the same time, and it was an Antonio Brown-driven episode. And also get Anna's thoughts on Antonio Brown, because there's a lot that happened already in just one day that she was gone. Stephen Langford, Anna Kagadaki's in on the pregame show on 95.7 The Game.
Now, back to the pregame show on 95.7 The Game. Here's Stephen Langford and Anna Kagadaki's.
Stephen Langford, Anna Kagadaki's in with you on the pregame show, as the pregame show is presented by Golden State Lumber. Join Golden State Lumber for Golden Mornings at the Building Bar for a coffee meet and greet with our product experts. Visit GoldenStateLumber.com for dates and more information. From the Chilton Autobody text line, Anna, at 95795. From the 916, I disagree with Debo being better than Jalen Hurd. I believe Jalen Hurd will outshine Debo Samuel. It will be Hurd and Jacobs in the running for Rookie of the Year. Rookie of the Year's high expectations.
Yeah.
But Bay Area Rookie of the Year, I'm not going to sit here and say, oh, yeah, you're wrong about that, because I mean, Rookie of the Year, that's far-fetched, because there's so many other guys out there. I mean, you're looking right now at a guy in Chicago, David Montgomery. He could be really good alongside Tariq Cohen. He can make an impact right away of the Chicago Bears. I believe he was drafted in the third round out of Iowa State. Mm-hmm. So there's certain guys like that you kind of forget about, but Hurd and Jacobs, he believes Jalen Hurd will be better than Debo Samuel this year.
Well, you know what?
Can't say I'm just, oh yeah, you're wrong, because he could be.
He could be. And you know what? It's a great problem to have if you're wondering which of these are better.
True.
And that would be a great problem to have, potentially. So I'm hoping for success from both of them. The other one who we're hoping is not a Rookie of the Year candidate would be someone like Kyler Murray, because if that's the case, that means he's doing something really well with the Cardinals.
Yeah. You know, could that be, though? Could he still be Rookie of the Year and the Cardinals could still have just a crappy season?
Because he's executing plays, but
I feel like if they're 8-8, then he can possibly be Rookie of the Year. He doesn't have to necessarily be a playoff contender, but if he can actually get this team to, I don't know, more than 7 wins, then maybe.
If he's putting up the numbers on the field personally, but then maybe Cliff Kingsbury doesn't make, good calls that actually cost games, then yes.
Yeah.
That's when you could see him as Rookie of the Year. But if it's, he's making plays and it's not, they're not doing well as a team, then I wouldn't see him being a Rookie of the Year candidate.
If Cliff Kingsbury can actually teach him how to snap a football correctly from the shotgun, mm-hmm. then they'll actually improve. But we can't say anything going forward, because the season hasn't started yet, and quite frankly, football, in my opinion, is the most
unpredictable sport in like out of each of the four major sports. The NHL, the playoffs are those ones are actually they're a toss up because you don't know whether the one or the eight seed's going to win. You see a lot of parity with that, but with football week to week, you could see the Panthers. They started out last year 6-2, and then they ended up just crapping the bed.
Yeah.
Toward the end of the season because Cam Newton, his shoulder wasn't right and all that sort of stuff. So I feel like football is just super unpredictable and you never know what's going to happen.
How do you think that shoulder's going to affect him this year? Do you think it's going to cause major issues? I mean, he seems like he's kind of bouncing back all right, but is that going to be something that's going to be lingering for him?
Well, looking at everything that's coming out of their training camp is he's changed his entire throwing motion.
Yeah.
He's got Devin Funchess out of there so he doesn't have to feel like he needs to rely on this number one receiver and waste throws on a guy who can't catch the football. And he's got DJ Moore, who's coming into his second year, Curtis Samuel, who's a speedy guy, and then Christian McCaffrey, who only continues to get better. So I think and Greg Olsen, who could be fully healthy. I think that Carolina offense and I think they're going to surprise some people this year, but yeah. That's just me. Moving on from football, though, on to baseball, because we got to mention now that the Giants ended up losing to the Cubs and are 4.5 games back, while the A's took over the Yankees and, well, manhandled them is the one word I could use there of two words that are combined for one word.
Oh, that kind of word. Yeah. I mean, Andrew Bailey settled down, which was huge.
Homer Bailey.
I mean Homer Bailey.
Andrew Bailey, that old closer from like 2014.
Yeah, I meant Homer
Bailey.
Yeah,
there you go.
Wrong Bailey. Wrong Bailey. But he did settle down afterwards, so that was a good thing. He had the Aaron Judge home run, which kind of made you worried about a little bit. But
what happened to him?
I mean,
you know how many home runs he has? He has like less than 15 this season. I think it's like 13 so far.
Look at Chris Davis.
Right.
What happened to him?
Right.
So that's another one that, you know, sometimes just, you know, I think he's still trying to figure out like something's kind of off with the swing from the injury, so we'll kind of figure that. But at the same time, you have Ole getting out there and getting his home run. You had the back-to-back home runs. Was it Canna? And then
it was Olsen and then Canna.
Yeah, and that just what I'm seeing about this team is that they are fighting. And now, right now, they are tied right now with Tampa Bay for that second wild card spot. And they are creeping their way in. So they're creeping their way up right now.
There's not going to be any way that the A's can I just don't think the A's are going to take over the Astros in the division. I know you're saying that, but we're coming up on September when they got 16 games in a row and they are going to have to there's no days off in between those 16 games. They're just going to hope that Houston falters, and I just don't think that Houston is going to, looking at their rotation and their lineup.
Well, look,
it's not based on the A's winning. It's based on Houston losing, and I don't think that Houston is going to lose all that much.
Well, they went on their skid, and that's where the A's were able to creep in. And if they had gotten that four-game sweep, they would have been only 5.5 back. That would have been way more doable.
Right.
Obviously, I think that would have made them be able to actually kind of almost figure out a way to really get back in this division race. But it's still a tall, tall task right now. I wouldn't say no, you know, they're what, 8 back right now in the division, so I can't say yeah.
I'm going to definitively say that the Astros are winning the AL West, and if I'm wrong, then damn, way to go,
A's. It's a safe bet,
right?
That's a bet I would, you know, I take that over say, hey, the A's going to do it. I mean, if I'm going to try to make money off of it, then I might say the A's could go for the AL West, but
right,
you know, that's a very dangerous bet to make right now.
Yes, and I'm just saying if they do end up making the wild card, though, where are you at right now with AJ Puck being the game starter on the wild card day?
I'm not there yet. Come on, I got to see the guy pitch first. Okay, let's watch him pitch. I was hoping to see a little bit last night, but he didn't get to go in last night, so hopefully we'll see a little bit tonight.
You could see a little bit tonight. I think that,
I would love it, though.
They're going to wait until I think this series upcoming with the Giants on Saturday or Sunday, maybe to get him a start. I don't know when he's set to start. I don't know what Bob Melvin's plan with him is exactly. They were going to bring him in relief to get him going, but I don't know if he'll think that he's ready by the time Saturday or Sunday rolls around. But if AJ Puck pitches against the Giants on Saturday and Sunday, it would make it much must-watch TV.
Yes, I cannot wait to see him. I saw him the first year when he was first drafted by the A's when he was playing the San Jose Giants. So I remember I was covering that game a while back, and he's huge. He is huge. And that was how many years ago now?
Right.
So, and just watching him, I mean, look, it's too early, obviously, for comparisons, but I mean, the first thing you think of whenever you watch pitches, Randy Johnson, is just, oh,
right.
God.
I mean, it's just the hair, the height,
everything
that goes along with it. And you go on to the other side of the bay, who are over at Wrigley Field, and the Giants, they couldn't seem to get it done, and now they've got these guys that are just hitting homers, but they only left six runners on base in total that game. And Tyler Beedy, he pitched okay, but he was just given up. He already gave up two homers in the first inning to Nick Castellanos and Anthony Rizzo. Just pitches that he shouldn't be leaving over the plate, especially against a guy like Anthony Rizzo. What are you doing pitching low and inside to Anthony Rizzo? That's his wheelhouse right there. That's like pitching low and inside to, why am I going to make this comparison? JT Snow, who used to crush low and inside pitches. Why am I making that comparison? I don't know. Anthony Rizzo
feeling nostalgic.
And him. Yeah, Anthony
That's
Rizzo
all.
And him aren't really the comparable. But still, and the Giants couldn't get anything going. All they could get was a couple of home runs, a two-run shot from Austin Slater, as well as a solo home run from Kevin Pillar. But other than that, Cole Hamels continues to look like a Cy Young Award winner against them, and I did not know that. I continue to be surprised that Cole Hamels is still pitching in this league. I do.
Yeah, we got to keep trying with that guy. Right. But, you know, what do you think of Yaz? I mean, I was hearing last night how, you know, he's the one that you're building around. He's 29 years old. The guy that, you know, he's the future of this team. Are you ready to say he's the future?
No.
I've been hearing all this talk about him. And
no.
The only thing is I like what he's brought to this team. I like that he's, you know, following his grandfather's footsteps, you know, that he's a Hall of Famer and everything, his grandfather. So I just think we're almost putting too many eggs in that basket.
Well, if we're talking about just a straight up future of the team, when you got guys like Jalen Davis and Hunter Bishop can't think of the other outfielder's name that they're hoping to bring up. But right now, Mike Yastrzemski, like, he may not be the future, but
he's solid though.
He is part of the reason why this team has thrived since July, and no one expected them to be even close. Like, I know 63-63 being .500 is not a good record on paper, but looking at where they were, they're 11 wins right now from their over under total, which was 73.5 going into the beginning of the season. So I think he's a big part of this team right now. The 2019 Giants, but if we're talking like, it depends on what your definition of future is. I mean, he's
basically the next, like, say, like how Buster Posey, Brandon Crawford, those guys. Is he up to their level, or do you say for some reason, I kind of think of him as somebody like a Steven Vogt, where he's been solid, a big contributor, big part of the team, a good leader.
Right.
But he's not like your key guy that you build
around. Yeah, he's not someone you can, I don't think, build around for the future. I think you're waiting. But he could be a solid veteran outfielder who could be a starter. But saying that you need to build around him for the future, that's kind of the same thing. That's kind of the same thing as saying you can build around Alex Dickerson. They're both relatively the same age.
Yeah.
Those guys, I think, are great right now. See if they can continue that coming up in the season. But that, I think that is a little too bold to say it's a little too bold to say that they should build around those guys. But I do think that they've kept the Giants interesting this year. And they're going to I think they're going to keep them interesting next year. But if we're talking future, like 2022, 2023, I'm not expecting like the team to be built around them. Although baseball players change. Players, like, no matter what age you are, you come into the league like that, you develop your swing, you do stuff differently that you hadn't done in your previous years in your career and all that sort of stuff. So, I mean, who am I to say that he's not one to build around? But if I'm just putting a label on him, no, I'm not.
And it could be also dependent on which jersey you wear, which coaching staff you're with. You know, you might find that right, you know, you know, right coach who can actually work with you. Even when you look at pitchers, you could see maybe like Kurt Young, I think, has done a really good job with this Giants staff. Well, at least the front end.
Right.
Like back end's been a little bit shaky.
Yeah. Yeah.
A little shaky.
No, just it's been fun, though. And Yastrzemski, he's a fun player to watch at this time. But saying to build around for the future of the team, that's definitely a bold strategy, Cotton. We'll see if it pays off for him. Going forward, we are going to discuss Hard Knocks because we had some interesting tidbits, as we should say, from Antonio Brown and John Gruden shined as John Gruden again, and another guy that was in shined as John Gruden as well that wasn't John Gruden.
I have a little issue with this.
Do you?
Yeah, we'll get into it.
Okay, we'll get into that next. Stephen Langford, Anna Kakadakis. Plus, who are the coolest NFL teams? Ones that just exude cool. We talked about the Panthers earlier. I'm thinking they exude cool, but we'll talk about all that next. Stephen Langford, Anna Kakadakis, in on the pregame show on 95.7 The Game.
Now, back to the pregame show on 95.7 The Game. Here's Stephen Langford and Anna Kakadakis.
Stephen Langford, Anna Kakadakis in with you on the pregame show. As the pregame show is presented by Golden State Lumber, join Golden State Lumber for Golden Mornings at the Building Bar for a coffee meet and greet with our product experts. Visit GoldenStateLumber.com for dates and more information. We are going to be talking about Hard Knocks coming up here, but from the 707 on the Chilton Autobody text line, I said before the break, who's the coolest team in the NFL? And from the 707, I'll assume this is a Raider fan. Easiest trivia question ever posed, the silver and black via uniform alone exudes more coolness and swag than any team in any sport in the world. The silver and black, the uni... Yeah, that
100%.
That gives them some clout right there, regardless of the team. You could have, I mean, you could. Wow, that
was really abrupt.
If you put like the kids in the Little Giants in like a Raider uniform, you know how much more badass they would have looked in that movie.
Oh yeah,
that movie.
Which one? The
Little Giants.
Yeah, yeah.
With the icebox.
That was a long time ago. God, that was I was a kid when I saw that movie. That was a while ago.
Yeah,
not that long ago.
You could put any team of people in a silver and black uniform, and they would look cool. They would. That's just it, and that's true. But also, I'm kind of talking about just the players as well. But we'll get into that.
There's a mystique
later.
About the Giants. About the Raiders. There's a mystique around them, and I think that they. Honestly, answering that question, they are truly the coolest team.
You think so?
I honestly, looking at all the teams, and you
I'm
said
talking
this
about
in our group.
Players though specifically.
Well, players.
Like players, because I'm looking at the Browns and I'm like, regardless of the Browns, then the name and the wins and the lack of wins rather in their entire the past decade. I'm looking at the Browns. I'm like, damn, that team is just that. That's a cool team right there.
It's cool, but it's so hard because I'm looking at their uniform and I'm still not able to say the Browns are the coolest team.
What if you take the uniform out of it?
If you take the uniform out of it, then definitely
you look at
that.
You look at Baker Mayfield and Odell Beckham and Jarvis Landry and Myles Garrett. You're just like, damn, they are pretty cool. You know?
Well, you know what? I better see Baker Mayfield. Do something special this year and not just be all talk. Because if he backs up his talk, he's extra cool at this point. Because that's the thing that he's got to be able to back up what he's been doing.
True. And I personally think they're going to, but that's just me. Going from one team that was on Hard Knocks to another team that was on Hard Knocks. We had another episode last night, and it started out with Frank Caliendo doing his John Gruden, and then. Of course, going through what he called the jukebox of his impressions, just expecting, already knowing what Gruden was going to ask him to do, because Gruden asked him to do Barkley, Gruden asked him to do Stephen A. Smith. He didn't even have Gruden ask him anymore at that point. He's just like, well, you want me to do Stephen A. Smith? I'll do Stephen A. Smith.
Yeah.
That's what Frank Caliendo does now. He's so used to it. The way he switches voices just on a dime.
So it's impressive.
Right.
In all honesty, to be able to do something like that on a whim. I mean, you know, sometimes when you do like impressions, you have to have like that key word to get you into it.
Yeah.
I mean, it almost feels like he doesn't even need that. He could just start off talking, no problem, and just go off. And he obviously is a great Gruden. I will say I'm a little bitter, though, because I wish we had a little nice guy Steven out there because, you know, you went toe-to-toe with Caliendo here in our own studio.
I did, but you gotta realize this, though. Did you hear the material that I threw out there to Frank Caliendo when he came in here? Not good. I threw out some Cobb salad joke when he was going to Cobb's Comedy Club, and I asked him how the Cobb salad is. But Frank Caliendo,
he said he ran out of material himself, though, too.
Yeah, but he
ran out about 5 minutes ago.
What he does, like Caliendo, it's underrated, the material that he uses for every one of his characters and the length at which he can do them. He can do them for an incredibly long time, for as long as he wants. And I think that's what's underrated. For me, I could do like five sentences as Gruden, maybe. I had a tough, like they, well, Gruden called in to the draft show a little while back, and he couldn't speak for longer than 30-second answers, and he gave about, you know, five questions out of it. And it wasn't really Gruden, but still, like, I have nothing but praise for Caliendo and what he does.
I really do too. I'm just joking because, you know, you do such a good job with your Gruden impression that I see. You do a good job with it. Look, you know, honestly, you do a good job with it. But it was fun seeing Caliendo there. I think that he really enjoys going out there and being a part of this, and it's fun. And he does, obviously, a great job with his impersonations. He's somebody I actually would love to see in his comedy routine. I'd love to actually go see him live. I think it'd be fun.
He tries to, I think right now he's trying to get away from, I remember specifically he said he's trying to do more of his just actual stand-up material instead of just doing impressions. He doesn't want to be known as the impression guy because he is funny.
But he's so good at it.
Yeah, right.
That's the thing.
And he's also really funny as well, though. But going forward, Anna, Antonio Brown was the highlight. He was the main guy, the main focus of this week's episode, and seeing what happened with all the helmet situation, him finding the loophole, then the NFL rejecting that loophole, filing a second grievance, not showing up to practice on Sunday, Mike Mayock coming out and saying that Antonio Brown needs to be all in or all out. Did it live up to your expectations after everything that happened in the past week that you were kind of just, it was all building up to Hard Knocks?
So the thing with me, it felt like I had read the book and now the movie was being made.
Right.
And that's what it kind of felt like. But then I saw all the best parts, you know, obviously, like in the trailers, basically, because we're seeing it all on social media now, like the Mike Mayock stuff. You know, we've been covering that since Sunday.
Yeah.
And we saw that. And then you see it again there. So it almost felt like it was old news, even though it was only a few days ago, not even that long ago. But, you know, it's good to get the little extra, the little background information to kind of see, like, you know, Gruden's reaction to things, to see so the player's reaction, to see Antonio Brown actually, you know, talk about it. So I did like seeing it, but to me it kind of felt like we already knew what the ending was going to be.
Yeah.
So it was like you read the book and then got to see the movie.
Do you feel like, I mean, let's just keep with the book and the movie analogy. Sometimes movies do miss out on little details in the book that you wish were in the movie, but they just weren't. Do you feel like there was something like that where there was you know the book, you know what's going to happen, and then you were a little disappointed in what was brought to you? Because for me, I thought there was going to be more, at least with this last leg of situations from Sunday.
Yeah,
I did
it,
not
it didn't live up to that. Yeah.
Because right now I'm having a hard time. Like, they didn't show him leaving practice on the Sunday. I do think that for the first time on this show, Antonio Brown didn't want the cameras on him. He was just like, don't show me leaving practice. I don't want this going on the film. But for the most part, though, I don't know if it cleared everything up, because it said that he found the helmet and it just showed him at the end practicing, doing those one-handed catches. But, you know, overall, though, for me, Anna, with Antonio Brown, I'm just, so many people are judging the guy.
They are, but
for,
you know,
who he is, and it's just I'm tired of being like a judgmental person, and I don't want to try and act like I know what he's going to do and who he is. I'm going to take Hard Knocks for what it was, and it seemed like at this point, he was being a good teammate. The helmet thing wasn't affecting everything going on with the team. Sure, he can't practice in full pads with Derek Carr. You can only see him getting work with the secondary, who I felt bad for, that scout team secondary that Greg Olsen just threw out there and was like, I got to cover Antonio Brown. Really? You're going to make me do that? But I'm done trying to judge the guy off the field. Talking in the third person doesn't help Antonio with these other pundits who you're saying more action, less noise. But the noise is going to keep coming if you keep talking about yourself in third person. But as far as I'm seeing, he seemed like he had good chemistry with his teammates. He looked like he was having fun on the sideline with the drinks and everything. People seem to have a problem with that, with him mixing Gatorades and having fun.
What was it, watermelon and berry?
Yeah, watermelon and berry.
Like, that sounded good.
Like that. But
I kind of want to try that myself.
I am just done like trying to judge this dude, because a lot of people do. And in sports, when you're put under a spotlight like this, sports radio, sports media people, we all tend to feel like we understand this guy. And there's certain people who do. But I will say this. One thing they didn't show that you can only see on his Instagram feed were his feet. They looked normal.
Yeah.
He was working out barefoot, and you didn't see any loose whoopee cushion skin. He looked normal.
It's the picture.
He's working out. He's in the weight room. He's doing all these different things. I'm just done trying to judge the guy's personality, because I'm trying to put myself in his shoes, not in his feet, but in his shoes. And I'm just saying to myself, okay, like this guy is a star athlete, has been a star athlete for the last 9 seasons. I don't know what that's like to have that sort of clout. I don't know what it's like to be that guy. So his actions, you could judge him all you want, but if you were in his shoes, not in his feet, but in his shoes, I don't think that anyone realizes. I don't think they know what kind of decisions they would make if they were in his shoes. That's all I'm saying.
Well, here's the thing. When you're a star, you're gonna react. People are going to react to you different ways. And you're also going to react to how you take the stardom, obviously. So you have somebody like Antonio Brown, who is a lightning rod, who does attract a lot of attention. But he also does things to attract attention at the same time. You know, you have somebody like, say, example, Steph Curry. Steph Curry is somebody, he cannot go anywhere without being recognized. And when he started in the NBA, you know, obviously you want something like that. But then at the same time, it's got to be really frustrating when you go anywhere and you know, you can't go places. And but at the same time, he's also created this whole empire for himself. He and his wife have their own little empires that they're doing.
Yes.
And they're happy about it. But there's also a cost at having that much power almost.
Right.
And at the same time with Antonio Brown, he's somebody that, you know, people gravitate towards because of his personality. He is very extravagant. He's very out there. So as much as he gets all this attention, there's things I'm sure he likes about it, and there's things he doesn't like at the same time. So it's going to be rough.
Yeah.
But I think I was trying to find it. I remember on Saturday he did tweet out something also about like he was upset with the NFL.
Yeah,
and
he did.
Yeah. So I was trying to find, I couldn't find the actual one again, but they didn't touch up on that at all. Really.
No, they didn't.
They didn't go, but they did touch up on that he was trying to find the other helmet. And I think we got a little shout out, by the way.
Yeah, the 209 on the Chilton Auto Body text line. Did you catch the 95.7 The Game reference by one of the coaches? Shout out HBO for the audio.
Yeah, I just heard about 95.7 The Game. They're giving an helmet. There's a ton on eBay. I'm a huge Raiders fan. Anything I can do, but can I also get that helmet?
Was that? That wasn't our show specifically, was that? I think that was Jolo and Dibs, because there were texters out there, ran a campaign to help AB get a helmet, and there was a couple of texters that came on the Chilton Auto Body text line and said, I found one on eBay for you, AB, and they found it funny, which is a good thing. They found it funny. But
they listen at 5:58, by the way. They listen to us first and then go into Jolo and Dibs, you know, that's how it rolls.
Right. But the episode yesterday, though, or last night, rather, it's going to give, I think, if you're a diehard Raider fan, if you're one who feels like this team has been now try not to think of the schedule, but if you think that this team is kind of underappreciated, undervalued, just they're tired of being the laughingstock of the NFL just because they traded away Khalil Mack. But last night's episode, I think, if you're a Raider fan, you don't need to listen to what anyone else says because they all have different opinions from the outside looking in. But if you're a Raider fan looking at that, I think that would have any of them really excited. I really do. And going toward, like, just seeing Carrier. No, not Carrier. Darren Waller, sorry.
Oh, my gosh, his story.
Yeah, I didn't know that. I had no idea.
I didn't either. The fact that he had been suffering from substance abuse and he has been trying to bounce back from it. And you're just, you want to root for this guy. You want him to succeed. And I'm, you know, obviously he's one of those guys you don't know if he's going to be cut or not. So, there, what was it, six tight ends right now that they have and they're... You know, they're not going to have room for all of them, obviously.
Yeah,
so.
Luke Wilson was one of them that they put out there. Yeah. Luke Wilson. They haven't done that where they've tried to create that one guy that may not make the team who has like a long shot of actually making it. So they haven't really created that fan favorite, per se. You know what I mean? There's always that fan favorite that they start out with.
They didn't have that. You're right. Because that's because they had so many other storylines to follow, actually, right now. Because you had John Gruden, you had Antonio Brown, you had those guys there. So, and then you had, you know, Ronald Ollie in the first episode, but he got cut right away.
Yeah.
From Last Chance U. But yeah, the Luke Wilson story is kind of fun and talking about his skinny calves. Yeah. Guys from Canada talked about going, you know, underneath the Golden Gate Bridge and how cool that was. So you see these guys, but Darren Waller is somebody that you're hoping that he ends up being on this team because you're rooting for the guy. And whatever he hopefully brings on. And he plus that smile. Like, you know, he had this great little smile. He was all smiling the whole time. He was nice. I just feel bad for the guy.
Don't make a sad.
It's no, like I just love that.
Oh,
I just feel for the guy, you know, because he's working so hard. That's the mom in me. I'm sorry.
Oh, because of his smile.
He had that nice smile. He's all trying
nice
hard.
I want Saquon Barkley and Cam Newton to do well because of their nice smiles and their great
teeth.
Look, Darren Waller, though, I knew Gruden came into this season. Yeah. Coming out of training camp, just reports, even before Hard Knocks started, they kept two guys under wraps that were going to be a big part of the offense, and that was Josh Jacobs and Darren Waller, and they still kept Josh Jacobs under wraps, even though he had this, like, I thought he's been saying that he's been hiding from the Hard Knocks cameras, and I just assumed that after Thursday night's game against the Cardinals, hey, Josh Jacobs, you're not going to be able to hide from the cameras anymore. You did something in the first couple of drives, but they didn't show that at all. And going back to Darren Waller, though, John Gruden has high hopes for the guy. Yeah. And when I read up on him, I didn't know about the substance issues and whatnot. Go ahead and watch the episode if you want to learn more about that. I'm not going to get into details about that, but I didn't know about much of that stuff. I just assumed that he was one of these kind of guys that got injured. He was one of those guys that got injured but couldn't get back on the field, and now he's fully healthy and he's still young, and so that's just what I assumed. I didn't know there were other things that might have hampered him from actually doing well in this league, and also him just not playing tight end as his first position.
Well, that the other reason that he got in caught to light was they had the Madden ratings also, and they asked him, you know, where do you think you are? They said you're at a 68. He goes, yeah, I think I'm there. And they're like, wow, I'm going to give you extra points for being honest.
Right.
But he was saying because of everything that he had gone through and then trying to fight his way back, again, somebody who's just really honest and kind of taking into consideration, look, I know where I'm at in life, and I want to just succeed, and I want to keep trying my hardest to get to become better, to become a better person, and also become a better player.
Yeah.
So you could see that from this guy, and that's why you're rooting for him. But I did find it interesting how the Madden ratings were so important to a lot of these players.
Oh yeah,
it's incredibly
they
important.
Are. And Mitch Wishnowsky, Mitch Wishnowsky, if you saw his tackle on Saturday night, he actually has a higher speed rating than Dre Greenlaw, interestingly enough.
Interesting.
But also with Luke Wilson,
yeah.
The long hair, the glasses. He looks like every rock band's, like, quiet, womanizer. The guy who's just who's like the rhythm guitarist in the background who gets all the ladies but just is quiet, you know, kind of like a George Harrison type from the Beatles.
Right.
That's what he looks like to me. Not one that's loud, but just a guy who's the rhythm or bass guitarist that has the long hair and gets all the ladies quietly.
Yeah.
Quietly. That's
quiet
what he looked
confidence.
Yeah, that's what he looked like to me.
That's funny. First thing I thought of, honestly, and you're going to laugh, it was Weird Al Yankovic for some reason because of my hair. I don't know why. I don't know why. I'm like, Weird Al. No.
Luke Wilson, if you're listening some reason at 5:58, I am so sorry that you were compared to Weird Al Yankovic.
Well, I did laugh when it was his dad was saying he had the Hanson hair.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. His own dad threw Hanson on him.
Why is it every Hard Knocks guy that you're rooting for has long hair? The guy who's trying to make the team?
Because the long hair is cool.
They always have the long hair. The guy last year, the tight end, can't remember his name, but he was obsessed with the crystals for the Browns.
Oh, yeah.
He had long hair. There was a guy on the Falcons with long blonde hair. I don't think he's in the league anymore. He had long hair. You were rooting for him. With the Rams, you had Eric Kush, but you were just rooting for him because he was funny with the Bro Tank Fridays, and he pumped for America. Yeah.
I'm also feeling for Hunter Renfrow. That poor guy keeps getting beaten up. You know, they're just throwing him under the bus. Poor guy with the big, they were talking about being stronger and conditioning and everything. Right. And then you throw the basically Tom Brady-esque picture of him.
Yeah. He just keeps on getting pounded on, but he'll be fine. And from the 719 on the Chill Not Nobody text line, Keelan Doss is my underdog. Curious to see if he's going to make the team because they're wide receivers. When you look at their depth and what they got, you're keeping six on the team. That means a couple have to be out. I mean, you're going to assume Keon Hatcher is probably one of them, but you don't know whether him or Ryan Grant are going to make the team. That's really where my question lies with that. Joe Coz and Dibs coming up with John Clayton at 8:30 and Dante Whitner at 9:05. Bonte Steiny and Guru will be joined by Robert Mays at 12 and Sean Salisbury at 12:30. And then Damon Arado and Kolsky will be joined by Alex Pavlovich, Ian Williams, and TJ Who's Manzada. TJ Who's Your Mama? Coming up, Joe Coz and Dibs.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.